And Americans for the Arts.
Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan, and I wanted to say that both of Florida's U.S. senators are Republicans. The governor and two of the three other members of the Florida State Cabinet are Republicans today. We're going to hear a speech from the only Democrat elected statewide in Florida. That's Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services Commissioner Nikki Fried. And this is from a recent speech at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club, where she talks about things like a controversial state cabinet meeting in Israel and her expectations of a new agricultural crop in Florida. And that crop is hemp. And we'll take your calls. The number to call in is 813-239-9663. In the first half of the show, probably the best way to reach us is by email, dj@wmnf.org, or text 813-433-0885. I'll read those comments as we go. And if you do text us, please sign with your name and where you're texting from, please. Before we begin the show, we're going to hear a comment that was left by a listener about the last show. I played a recent speech by presidential candidate Bernie Sanders about democratic socialism. So here is one listener's critique from the left.
This is Mike in Tampa. I just wanted to comment on Bernie Sanders' speech. I'm a real genuine socialist. Socialism and the view of people like Eugene B. Debs and Gloria Rivera. Not only them, but also people like Albert Einstein and Helen Keller. And that is factories to the workers, land to the peasants. The problem with so-called democratic socialism, which is not really socialism, is that the liberal reforms can always be taken back by the conservative bourgeoisie. And they've done it time and time again and always will. As far as countries like the Soviet Union, you have to take into account they were sold out and done in by Stalinism. I'm born on being a Trotskyite. And Trotsky, in his writing, predicted 60 years before it happened that the Soviet Union would collapse under Stalin's policies. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, that was a listener commenting about our last show, which is on our website, WMNF.org. Later on in the broadcast, I'll give out the number for you to leave a voicemail about today's show that I can play next week. And you can always listen to previous shows, comment on the stories on our website, WMNF.org. You can join us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at WMNF News. I'm going to give out the numbers one more time if you'd like to call in or text us a comment about what you're going to hear on this show. The number is 813-239-9663. Email dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. A little more than a week ago, this is while WMNF was fundraising and it preempted our normal news programming, Florida's new Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried answered questions from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. I didn't mean to pass over the fundraising so quickly. I want to thank everyone who did donate. And if you still haven't donated to the Midpoint Show or any of our great news and public affairs or music shows, why don't you donate online right now at WMNF.org. I'm going to play a short interview with Nikki Fried later in the show. And right now I'm going to play most of that forum this hour, that Tampa Tiger Bay Club forum from a few days ago. And I'd like your comments or thoughts. The best way to do it is dj@wmnf.org. Text 813-433-0885. So here is Nikki Fried's opening statement and the first couple of questions from Tiger Bay members.
Thank you so much for having me here today. I am Nikki Fried, your 12th Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Services. So I want to thank you for being here today, and more importantly, for doing your civic duty and being involved in Tiger Bay and all the different activities that you have across the county and across the city. And everyone here, I'm used to, you know, being involved in different types of dens and attacks, and so being here at Tiger Bay and to the lions and tigers' den, you know, as a triple gator, theater. I'm used to having to go into the tiger's den and having to fight. So I appreciate this opportunity today, and more importantly, that you are not partisan. You know, that the fact is that you want to hear from all of your elected officials and want to hear what they have to say, regardless of partisan politics. So I really do commend what you all do and what you bring to the table, and more importantly, what you do for your communities. I am the first female ever elected to commissioner, so that. I'm also the first Jewish female to serve on the Florida cabinet. And I feel like I was elected because I have a different vision, a different goal for the Department of Agriculture, and a different vision allowed me to get here. And I believe that the people of the state of Florida are the ones who saw that they wanted a change and they wanted something different. And so I take that responsibility very seriously, understanding that I don't come from traditional agriculture, but have spent not only the time while campaigning, but the first 160 days of my office meeting with all the different stakeholders across the state to hear what their needs are, what their interests are. And I've said, you know, I was a 15-year practicing attorney and 8 years doing government consulting back and forth into Tallahassee. And I said, you know, all I'm doing is changing my client. I'm still the advocate and best voice for the people that I represent, and now it's the state of Florida and the consumers and the Agriculture Commission. So I know that I don't walk in the same boots as my predecessors, and I'm okay with that because it gives me an opportunity to go outside the box and to really give a new perspective on things. So that is exactly what we're doing here, because the people of the state of Florida wanted a new voice. We may know that agriculture is the second largest economic driver of our state. 47,000 commercial farms and ranches, creating $132 billion in economic impact. Florida's farmers and producers and ranchers support over 2 million jobs, exporting over $4 billion in agriculture products to 164 countries across the world, and raise over 1 million in cattle, and are critical to feeding our families, for feeding our neighbors, and feeding the world, quite frankly. Here in Hillsborough County, there is more than 180,000 people that work in agriculture. That's 20% of your community. Statistically, that means two out of each of you here are keeping the rest of us fed, and the food that you're eating on your plate, you're part of agriculture. But our agriculture producers, of course, are facing a lot of challenges, and are between a changing environment, impacts that have been, you know, that we see every single day, from increases in hurricanes and different impacts that we're seeing from international trade negotiations. I've continued to be very vocal about the renegotiation of NAFTA, which is now USMCA, not creating a seasonal exemption for our farmers here in our state. But the future of our state and our nation depends on greatly our ability to produce the fresh, nutritious, and safe food. Our success and our children's success lies tied directly into the success of our farming community. Our department will continue to partner with our agriculture community with a forward-thinking approach that ensures that everyone has access to alternative crops and innovative technology. Innovation is everything. That's why in the coming weeks, I'm going to appoint a new board that is going to be focusing on innovation and technology, making sure that the next generation has all of the same tools that the past has had. You know, I just came back from a long trade mission in the state of Israel, where I got to meet with 70 different types of companies over there that are seeing what innovation is doing. And so looking forward to bringing some of that new innovation and technology here into our state, and making sure that the best practices are actually, in fact, the best practices. Innovation was the heart of why I went to the state of Israel, making sure that we are getting new technology to attack the citrus greening situation, water conservation, precision agriculture, hydroponics, drone technology, all the things that are really going to advance our state. I keep talking about the fact that I want the state of Florida to be the Silicon Valley of agriculture here in our state, and really believe that we have a unique opportunity to do that. But we also have key allies in agriculture across our state who are protecting our natural lands and our waterways for our generations to come. And so we have a unique opportunity to work together to change our environment and protect our climates. No state is more vulnerable to the climate changes than we are here in the state of Florida. And through our Department of Energy, that is also housed inside the Department of Agriculture, we are looking into new collaborative approaches to increasing renewable energy production and mitigate some of those climate changes, ensuring Florida is doing its part to build a sustainable future and create new clean jobs. Combating the red tide and blue-green algae, which I know you saw here in your community, has also been the forefront of a lot of the conversations that we've been having since taking office. And looking forward to working with myself, the Department of Environmental Protection, as well as the governor, to combat some of these issues that are facing our state. That's also why I created appointed a brand new water policy director. He has already been hard at work making sure that we're protecting our waterways and working with our agriculture community. So as we look forward, we also, you know, saw some things that we needed to fix. And that is some of the issues that we saw in our concealed weapons permitting process. Unfortunately, my predecessor allowed for 13 months background checks to not be done and completed. So I made a promise to the citizens of the state of Florida, which I have upheld and keep every single day, to make sure that every single person, all 2 million people who have applied for concealed weapons permits in the state and who have them, have had a complete background check. And so when we took office, we also saw that it was taking 93 days for those background checks to be done. We had a statutory requirement of only 90. So already we came in with a big mission ahead of us. And so I'm happy to say that since taking office, we have cut the amount of time in half. So imagine that a Democrat. Yeah, everybody was so fearful that when a Democrat came into office that I was going to take everybody's guns. And so I have made sure that we are doing it in an efficient and timely manner. We also have asked and got into the state's budget 25 new employees to make sure that we are continuing to get that stuff done in a timely manner. The safety of our citizens is the foremost, and so I take that responsibility very seriously. So the other priorities that we've seen, I was actually coming from a workshop down the street, is we created a hemp program here in our state of Florida. Hemp, I had a vision of being a new and innovative technology here, and it's going to be a completely reinvent the way that we see our economy. Not only is it going to help our farming community, give them another option, another alternative crop, but it also is going to be so much essential for our environment. It's going to be able to be an industrial revolution, a green economy, allowed to replace our plastics and our styrofoams and concrete, hempcrete. The things that we can do with hemp is 25 to 35,000 known usages today. And the amount of feedback and response that we've received from people all across the state, we had about 300 plus people at the workshop today, about the same amount yesterday, and the diversity that we saw from farmers to people in the bigger and smaller side of the agriculture community, to entrepreneurs, to investors, to people that were coming in from out of our state, is this really going to be a $20 to $30 billion industry? And really looking forward to Florida being at the forefront of this new technology to create these kinds of products and byproducts, not only ship them for across the entire country, but the entire state. So we have a lot of great things that we are looking forward to doing inside of the Department of Agriculture. One of the other things that we have been focusing a lot on is not just the hemp side, but also the medical marijuana side. It was one of the things that I campaigned on, that I feel that the state of Florida had not listened to the will of the people. 72% of us voted for medical marijuana, and every step along the way, the legislature and the past governor stood in the way of the will of the people. So we are fighting every single day. We created a task force about 2 weeks ago to travel the state, to hear from patients, to hear from doctors, from providers, from the license holders, the farmers, to see how we can't move that program forward. And the same thing is on Amendment 4. We saw Amendment 4, again, was supported overwhelmingly. And I have, again, always supported as a past public defender that when somebody has paid their time and debt to society, they have a right to be put back into society, and voting is essential, is a constitutional right and the best way that democracy works. It's the only way democracy works, when we actually get the people to the ballot box and hearing their voices. Again, I am just so delighted to be here with you today and look forward to the partnership here in Hillsborough County as we move forward to the next 4 years of my administration. So thank you again for your time today and look forward to your questions.
Ron Weaver, thank you very much, Madam Commissioner. We're very honored that you're here. Over the last 15 or 20 years, agricultural interests have received occasional Florida help with respect to permitting and the like. What are some of the ways that our regulations with respect to farmers can be considered more balanced with respect to the way we regulate our farmers and their property and their water and the like, as far as regulating farmers?
Yeah, so, you know, what's happened a lot during campaigns is that there's a lot of finger pointing. Who's to blame for a lot of what's coming out into our waterways? And so I've said from day one, you know, the farms were here before the people were. You know, as we continue to have an increase in population, a lot of the pollution that's going into our waterways is because of development. And so we need to have that appropriate balance, making sure that agriculture is preserving and protecting the land, which they do every single day, but also making sure that they're doing it in a way that's safe and better for the environment. And so new technologies and innovation is going to help that. You know, making, like I said, in Israel, I saw precision agriculture, ways to protect the environment, ways to conserve the water supplies. You know, I said in the state of Israel, they have no water. They are a desert, and they've been able to create a fertile land out of nothing. And so using that technology and bringing that here to the state and saying, they have done it right. And now let's take that new technology, let's make sure that the best management practices that are here in the state are in fact the best management practices. If not, then we need to do some work together.
Nancy Granda. The Florida State Fairgrounds has always been very family friendly, and yet people with concealed weapons can bring their guns into the event. I'm wondering how many families know that. There's also alcohol served at the Florida State Fairgrounds. And we also are known for the highest rate of negligent gunfire in the country. So I was wondering what your feeling would be about making the Florida State Fairgrounds a gun-free zone.
Yeah, so I was actually approached during my campaign about the same issue. And so I know that I just left our first board meeting with my new board. And those are one of the questions that we're going to be asking and get feedback from the community, get feedback from the people that, you know, are bringing their guns into the property. And so those are some of the things that we're looking at. I want to make sure that we're providing a safe environment. You know, from the board meeting just now, they specifically showed that their main target audience from this past year's fair was families. Was, you know, targeting, you know, families with kids and making sure that it's providing an environment. And so we need to do a job internally to see where is that balance, making sure that we're not stepping on people's constitutional rights, but yet also making sure that we are protecting the people that are coming to the fair. So know that that's one of the issues that we're going to be charging this board to see what we need to be doing.
That's Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. She's answering questions from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan, and it's 12:23 in the afternoon, and this is Midpoint. We're listening to a speech from Nikki Fried answering questions, that is, from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. This was about a week ago, and we're going to continue with that forum in just a minute, but right now what I'm going to do is ask for your input and what do you think about this speech and some of the things she's saying. So far, she's talked about her trip to Israel, which we'll hear more about in just a second, concealed weapons permits, hemp, medical marijuana, Amendment 4, pollution from farms. So if you have thoughts about any of these, dj@wmnf.org, or you can text 813-433-0885. So as I said, we're going to go back to the forum and the questions in just a minute, but right now I'm going to jump ahead to right after that forum. I was able to grab the commissioner for maybe a minute or a minute and a half and ask her a series of questions about the controversial Israeli trip that she took with the Florida cabinet. So I'm going to play the answers to her responses to my questions. She addressed it a little bit during the forum. She addressed it in that first tape we heard, but we'll hear a little bit more later on. Here are her short responses to my questions. And the first question is, I asked her if she met with any lobbyists while she was in Israel.
Lobbyists in Israel or from...
When you were on your trip?
So there was definitely people that were on the trade mission that were from the States, that were, you know, government consultants. And there were... I don't think that Israel itself has lobbyists. We were asking around, but I think that to the people that were on the trade mission, there was definitely a handful of lobbyists that were on the trade mission with the governor.
Well, the second question that I asked Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried was whether it was a good idea in general for the Florida cabinet to hold what should have been a public meeting so far from Florida in Israel.
You know, the reality is that the state of Israel is essential to the security of our world, of our country. And so making sure that you have a united front to showing our support here in the state of Florida and for Israel, not only for trade missions and trade opportunities, but to get some of the science and get some of the research that is coming back. So having us all there was important. And I think that was, you know, shown that it was a bipartisan support for the state of Israel and the relationship between the state and Israel.
And finally, the last question I was able to ask Commissioner Nikki Fried, the Agriculture Commissioner in Florida, is whether on that official trade mission to Israel, she met with any Palestinian businesses or Palestinian people.
Not that I'm aware of. I think most of the companies that we met with were ag tech companies, and the ones that I met with, we met with 50 to 70 companies that were ranging all types of agriculture commodities, ag tech, water policies, environmental policies, medical marijuana companies, the Department of Agriculture over there in Israel, researchers across the board. So all the companies that were startups, I didn't ask if they were Israeli or Palestinian companies, but we were just looking for the different types of technology and innovation from the state.
Well, that's Florida's only statewide elected Democrat Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. I was interviewing her after her forum at the Tampa Tiger Bay Club about a week ago, a little more than a week ago. And this is 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. If you have any comments about what you just heard, text us at 813-433-0885. You can email DJ at WMNF.org. Later on in the show, I'll open up the phone lines, but I want to get through some more of this, the forum and the questions that she was being asked by Tiger Bay members. So here is Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried answering some more questions from the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. And it begins with a question about Roundup.
Justin Tiger, you're seeing glyphosate Roundup banned in a couple counties throughout Florida.
I'm sorry, I see it too. What?
Glyphosate and Roundup. You're seeing it banned in a few places. Do you foresee anything at the state level coming as far as banned?
That's why I didn't hear what the first
bans on glyphosate or Roundup come from the state level.
Banning of glyphosate?
Glyphosate, Roundup, weed killer.
Oh, a weed killer. I'm sorry. So some of the things as far, you know, again, it's an environmental issue and trying to figure out, you know, we are seeing a lot of that in local communities and seeing, you know, we have an entire department that looks over the environmental aspects and a lot of the fertilizers and pesticides and seeing how we make sure we make that balance. And so we have been discussing internally too, and we met with a lot of stakeholders, whether or not we should be putting forth a legislation to do a statewide regulations or let the local governments handle it. So we are definitely looking into that to see what needs to be done, because the one thing we don't want is there to be one community you're doing one thing and another community you're doing something else. And if you are moving across county lines or you happen to be a licensed, you know, producer, what are you doing between the two counties? And so we are looking at making sure, again, that we have a balance and that we're protecting, because I do firmly believe that that the homeowner has a huge responsibility on a lot of the waste that's going into our waterways. And so we need to make sure that we are teaching that we have the same regulations for the farmers that we do for the homeowners, and to make sure that they realize that they have a part to play in a lot of this.
Hi, Elizabeth Corwin. A follow-up to your response to the Florida State Fairgrounds question. A lot of municipalities across the country have banned gun shows in their jurisdictions, and the Florida State Fairgrounds is under your jurisdiction. Can you foresee banning gun shows?
That's actually not something that has come up in any of the conversations. So it's definitely something that if we need to be looking at too, it's just not something that has come up at all. So it's something that if that's something that we need to be looking at too, I will definitely charge the board with looking into this.
Good afternoon, Alma Gonzalez, Commissioner. Welcome back to Tampa. I want to ask a question about your Israel trip. As the mother of a third year rabbinical student in New York City, we were very optimistic about your visit to Israel, but it became very controversial. What did you guys do wrong, and how would you do it differently?
Well, I think that my part of the trade mission, so we went, so as y'all know, that there was the governor's trade mission. Had a delegation of about 110 people and a cabinet meeting that happened there. So that trade mission started on Sunday. We felt that it was imperative that we went ahead of time. So we got there on Thursday to meet with those 50 to 70 companies, because I had a very specific mission, and I was to talk to as many startup ag tech businesses as possible to make sure that I got as much feedback from them and then be able to bring that stuff here to Florida, figure out how to do the partnership. So I felt absolutely that what we did, and make sure that we had boots on the ground early to meet with those companies and the follow-ups now, was perfect. So our part of the trade mission, we definitely felt that we maximized our time over there. And of course, you know, as we do more trade missions, I think one of the biggest problems was the rest of the delegation, that they felt that they, in fact, you know, were there to support the cabinet, but yet really didn't have an opportunity to have a lot of interaction with companies in Israel.
Hi, my name is Mike Diesel. I'm a recovering investigative reporter.
being a recovering politician.
State worker. He's been on oxycodone or on Xanax. They get off. They get on medical marijuana. Everything's great. They have an accident. They're drug tested. They're fired because they're using a substance that the agency won't allow them to use. As a cabinet member, will you push the cabinet to do something about it? And we ask Attorney General Moody to file an amicus either with the worker or with the agency.
So as you all know, I am a tremendous supporter for medical marijuana. Getting people off of oxy, getting them off of pharmaceutical drugs, giving them a better quality of life, it is paramount. Getting health insurance is essential as well for access and for affordable access. The workers' comp issue is a problem. We're seeing that across the entire country, that when somebody, and it's not just even getting hurt on the job, but if they have a drug-free work zone and somebody is tested positive for medical marijuana and THC in their system, they're fired. And so we are, you know, I have been pushing a lot, and I saw that Arizona just added language into their laws that says that an employer cannot fire somebody for testing positive. There needs to be a lot of research as far as how to make sure that you're not impaired when you're actually on the job. And I think a lot of it, unfortunately, right now, until that science gets created to do the drug test, to know if you smoked last night, you're not impaired the next day at your job. But you could have had two bottles of alcohol the night before, and then you're still going to job with no repercussions. So yes, I am going to be very vocal on this issue. You know, obviously there's going to be a balance between if you're supposed to be a school bus driver or heavy machinery and things of that nature. But for day-to-day operations of just doing your job, I'd rather you on medical marijuana at night than I want you on oxy that is throughout the day.
Hi. My name is Lynn Hertek, and I actually grew up in Gainesville, a two-time Gator. So, Alachua County offers a weekly farmer's market where I could buy locally grown food and speak to the people who grew it. It was a huge benefit I didn't know I was going to miss until I moved here, where I was surprised to find that I cannot find locally grown food to purchase in this area. Our farmers markets are mainly resellers. What can your office do to encourage each county to develop real markets for locally grown food?
You're absolutely correct. And not only just allowing you to buy locally, but I have one of my biggest issues that I want to tackle is food deserts across our entire state. And in the farmers markets and those types of outside the box opportunities for local growers, one, it encourages our agriculture community for economic reasons. But two, if our citizens don't have nutritious meals and they're not eating, then the wheel of health insurance and health care, you get obesity, you get diseases, you get diabetes, and it just has a huge impact on our health and health care system. So we are doing a lot talking to our local communities, how to make sure our farm-to-table programs are actually farm-to-table programs, working with our local producers to kind of combat the food insecurity, because that is part of the equation, and working with our local governments to encourage not just farmers markets, but also encourage local gardens too, and community gardens as well. So we are talking a lot about this because it goes into my entire mission of attacking food insecurity.
Well, if I have to ask a question.
Yes, sir.
Joe Redmond.
I'm glad that you repaid your dues then.
Lake Okeechobee. The agricultural industry is pouring in nutrients, pouring in crap into Lake Okeechobee. And then when it gets so much in it, they release it out to the shores. They're ruining our economy. They're ruining our environment. And they're driving tourists away. How do we stop Big Sugar from pouring their nutrients into Lake Okeechobee?
As I've said throughout the entire campaign, we have a collective mission to fix Lake Okeechobee. And that means everybody sitting at the table. And it's not just agriculture. It is, again, development. It is, again, the septic tanks. It is across the board problems. This is something that hasn't happened overnight, but we are doing our job. Like I said, we have a new water policy director who's in place, who is going through and talking to all of our agriculture producers, making sure that they're on the best management programs. I also am trying to push sugar, both U.S. and crystals, to get into hemp and start transforming their land for those aspects, and making sure that they are, in fact, you know, they're supposed to not be pumping anything back into Lake Okeechobee. That is part of a lawsuit that happened years ago, and making sure that we're holding their feet to the fire, that is in fact not happening.
April Schiff. Commissioner, you were recently quoted on social media as saying, Republicans want to take us back to a time long since past, a time when women couldn't vote, a time when we couldn't own property, a time when women were expected to sit down, shut up, and stay home, barefoot and pregnant. They are not pro-life, they are anti-woman. Who are those Republicans you are referring to, please?
Well, as I have been very vocal, we have a representative from the Panhandle who believed that he was speaking to God, and God told him to file a piece of legislation to completely ban abortions, and that there is people that were supporting this legislation. I am obviously very anti that legislation. We saw Alabama. We've seen about 10 of our states across the country that have banned abortions or banned some form of abortions at early term. And so I've been very vocal that that is not the direction of our state. We have a Supreme Court case that dictates otherwise. And I will continue to be very vocal that if the state legislature, as I've said when I went up to Tallahassee as a Democrat working with a very Republican legislature and a cabinet, I said, look, I'm going to stay in my lane as much as possible, but you all start passing abortion bills, you're going to hear from me, and you're going to hear from every single female that I'm going to bus up to the state of Tallahassee, because we are not going back to a time when my grandmother and great-grandmother had to go across the border to get abortions with hangers. We are not going back to that time.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Adam Bantner. April, you stole my question there a little bit, and you probably phrased it much better than I would have, but I'll ask you about, I guess, the gas pumps and your sticker on there. Now, I don't necessarily mind seeing your smiling face there. It's a good picture. You're a good-looking woman, but nonetheless, isn't it a little narcissistic to put your photo all over gas pumps all over the place?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. You know, when I campaigned, I made it very clear that as a 15-year practicing attorney, that my job was to protect the consumer. And that is exactly what I did. And to make sure that the consumers, we have this year alone, have found over 300 skimmers all across the state of Florida by our sweeps. We found another 1,500 last year and 2,500. Each skimmer is valued at $1 million. It's $1 million of fraud on the consumer. And if my picture on the gas station pump is creating conversations like this, to make sure that consumers understand that there is somebody accountable to them, then it works.
And that's Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. She was answering questions from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. My name is Sean Canaan. I'm the host of Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:38 in the afternoon. We're going to go to take a phone call or two right now, and you can call in 813-239-9663. We'll go back and hear a little bit more of this forum in just a minute, but I do want to get some of the phone calls that are coming in and texts. Get those on the air. First, I'll read this from Lee in Riverview. She says, holy cow, she doesn't even know what glyphosate is. It's used by both the state and county of Hillsborough, the FWC, I believe, to control invasive plants in our parks. I worry for those who spray every day that they will develop cancer or birth defects. Another issue she doesn't seem to get is the ammonia pollution caused by livestock. Anyway, I applaud her efforts around hemp and medical marijuana. So that's a comment from Lee in Riverview. And we'll go now on the air on the phone lines to Gulchin in Tampa. Hi.
Hi. First of all, I mean, she sounds really nice and naive also, too, because the statement that she was making is going to Israel and trying to bring the business here to Florida State, as if, like, we are so poor and we desperately need their technology. This is America. We created all these. On top of it, first of all, Israel is not a desert. In other words, Palestinian has never been a desert. They have perceived that it is a desert, that they have created this grandeur of a water supply companies They have taken these waters from the Palestinians, which they have grown an abundance of wonderful fruits and vegetables. It's never been a desert. Second of all, she's very deceitful. She does not even know anything about a glyphosate. It is so toxic and so dangerous to all of us. And then, lastly, she mentioned something about sugar. Who's running the sugar company in Florida State? One person and one person only. What sugar are they going to bring to Suwannee River or any other river, which is toxic already, and it uses a lot of water? And it's very sad that she is an agricultural seed. I don't know. To me, it's like she has no clue. We want to have a community farm that actually can bring their stuff and sell it to a community. Instead, we have corporations running the entire business for us. She's talking about our corporations. That's all I have to say. I'm upset.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that call, Gulchin. I appreciate you calling in, and thanks for your patience and holding while we were playing the tape. So thank you for that call. I'm going to read a couple of more texts or emails that came in. If you'd like, you can text to 813-433-0885, or you can email dj@wmnf.org. Before we go back to hear more questions put to Nikki Fried, our Florida Agriculture Commissioner, Simon writes, "This commissioner will run for the governorship in years to come." And that's Simon's prediction. And I should say that I overheard a reporter ask Nikki Fried whether she was going to run for governor. And she said, "Oh, I'm not going to make that kind of announcement right now." So she didn't say, "Oh, no way will I ever run for governor." But she, you know, she's just kind of playing it under her vest right now. But it kind of makes sense if the Democrats are looking for a candidate in 4 years. Well, I guess that's 3 years. You know, it seems like as the only statewide elected Democrat, she'd be a definitely one of the names that would be thrown out there. So thank you for that email from Simon. And I want to read this from Liz in Spring Hill before we go back to hear more. And Liz writes, "I'm astonished at her ignorance about her mission to Israel," and mission is in quotes in Liz's email. "One thing to look at technology, but she moved into support to Israel too, generally, and had no idea if Palestinian businesses were included. She almost laughed that one off. I am not on board with it. What's glyphosate? Apparently it's a slippery substance that helps her to not confront the issue. Disappointed so far that I voted for her, but what was my alternative?" So those are some of the comments from Liz in Spring Hill. Maybe I'll read one more text before we go back to the tape. And Lou in Tampa says, "I'm offended by the term State of Israel. Is that the best way to refer to a country? I realize many people treat it as if it were the 51st state, but it's not. Thanks for letting me vent." So thanks for saying that, Lou. We often say State of Israel, but we're not referring to state like Arkansas, where it's referred to, you know, like England is a state and Belgium is a state. But you're right. We do tend to say the State of Israel rather than we hardly ever would say the State of Germany. In this case, they're talking about an independent country, that kind of state. But you're right, it is kind of like an awkward term that we use. But let me go back to hear more questions from Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried. She was answering questions from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. And if you'd like to comment, you can email dj@wmnf.org. You can text 813-433-0885. And later on in the show, I will take phone calls at 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM, wmnf.org. Here's some more Nikki Fried.
Good morning, Ari Fry. I'm a former Florida FFA state officer and currently attending the University of Florida studying agriculture.
Go Gators.
Go Gators. My question is revolving around future agricultural techniques. So what are incentives for hydroponics, aquaponics? We know they work. How are we going to encourage farmers to use them to feed that estimated $10 billion by the year 2050, while also encouraging and educating our consumers?
Yep, you're absolutely correct. You know, and that is exactly why I created an innovation technology committee. It is to work on, do we need to create new incentives inside of agriculture, making sure that agriculture understands that some of the things that we are hearing is that while we've had drip technology for years and decades, it's been cost prohibitive. And so some of the technologies that we saw when we visited to Israel is that they've been able to reduce the cost for actually transforming all of this. And one of the other things that I have said very clearly to the agriculture community is that I'm going to provide carrots.
You know, I'm going to provide carrots to you all that we're going to work together. Don't force us, and not just us, just the Department of Agriculture, but also DEP, that if they're finding that they're not able to change all of their land over to new types of technology that is better for the environment, more producing, because you're absolutely right. The statistics and the numbers that I have found of how we need to increase the amount of agriculture production across the entire world in the next 70 years is astronomical. So if we aren't doing our job now to not only encourage people to stay in agriculture, you know, this next generation like yourself to be involved in agriculture, we not only are going to lose our own national security if we are having to rely on other countries for our production. So it's going to be a partnership, and looking forward for input that if we need to create some other kind of tax reliefs or other types of incentive programs, we are going to be doing that, and looking forward to my committee coming up with ideas of how to go forward with some of those thoughts.
Hi, Ben Ritter, co-chairman of the Tampa Mayor's Alliance for People with Disabilities and member of the local chapter of the Military Officers Association America. Congratulations on your election.
Thank you.
First female. This relates to the question that Adam had. It's telephone numbers on gas pumps. In 2014, the Mayor's Alliance, County Alliance, and other disability organizations were responsible for leading the efforts to get a law passed in 2014 requiring all the gas stations in the state of Florida to post a telephone number on their gas pumps so persons with disabilities, those who use walkers, canes, crutches, wheelchairs, could read that phone number of the gas station and call for free gas pumping assistance as required by the federal law. When your agriculture stickers are replaced, would it be possible to replace them large enough so you can read the phone number from the driver's seat that would benefit people with disabilities?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, thank you for bringing that to our attention. That's how change gets made. So certainly, you know, we have been, you know, that's why we also put English and Spanish, because we want to make sure that the most diversity of our state has access. So as we are, you know, going through the stickers and having to eventually change them and keep updating them, we will absolutely make sure that they are large enough for everybody to see, and probably make sure that the gas station pumps, I'm assuming not that necessarily people that are driving that need Braille, but that we look through. I hope not, but as I say that out loud, but making sure that you're absolutely right, because also too, we have a, you know, the state of Florida has a very, you know, elderly communities, and to make sure that they too can easily visually see it. So I will definitely bring that back to our marketing department and to our consumer areas. Oh, Amy's awesome.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you? I own Townsend. I have an observation to make and then a question. The observation is, if you were a male agricultural commissioner, there wouldn't have been an issue about your picture being on it. So, what's your position on the possibility of a constitutional amendment for an independent redistricting commission, given that Florida's been identified as a gerrymandered state by the NDRC, and that the Florida legislature, as you mentioned earlier, does not have a very good history of abiding by the voters' wishes?
You're right. And that's also why fair districts is in our Constitution. And that's why we saw the last time around when they did not abide by the Constitution, there were all those challenges. But I'm always going to support an opportunity for more voices to be heard. And so if that is going to be the solution to make sure that we stop the gerrymandering in our state, then I will be supportive of it.
Hello, David Lavery. I want to ask you about citrus greening. Have we turned the corner, and are we able to save our citrus industry?
You know, it has been the most heartbreaking thing that I have seen as Commissioner of Agriculture, that we started off with for years and decades and generations, 203 million boxes across our state that was being produced. We're down to 71 million. That is a tremendous, tremendous impact. You know, when people come and talk about Florida, they talk about three things. They talk about our beaches, they talk about our citrus, and they talk about the little mouse. And the fact that one of the three has been so decimated, and because of citrus greening and now hurricanes, and but you know, we are seeing improvements. I was at Citrus Mutual last week. There was higher in turnout in the conference than in years past. There is enthusiasm, there is excitement, and now we're starting what's called craft, giving opportunities for our citrus growers to try different types of experimental treatments on their land. So we are seeing progress, and everything that I am doing, like I said, back in Israel, we met met with citrus companies that were working on citrus greening, not only for detection purposes, but also for remediation purposes.
Carl Zalanka, I know we're all concerned with the environment, but most people don't realize that Florida is one of the largest cattle producing states in the country. Mm-hmm. How can you balance the future of the cattle industry versus the environmental impact of cow farts?
Well, I can't prevent a cow from farting. and it's a great question because cattle is, I was at the Cattlemen's Association this week too, and the amount of impact that cattle has on our economy is tremendous. We are the second largest cattle producers in the country. So there is a balance. If you see any of the pictures from any of those ranches, they also are the best conservations of our land too. And they are part of the reason why we have such beautiful agriculture here in the state of Florida. So it is a balance, and it's finding other things that are impacting our environment. I have at the energy office, I've also tasked my director of energy to come up with an entire plan. If you had to close your eyes and create an entire wish list of how to make the state of Florida more energy efficient, what would it look like? And so we are in the process of doing that. I harp back onto the impact that hemp is going to have on our state. Hemp is not only going to be biodegradable, replace our concrete, our styrofoam, our plastics, but it also is going to clean our waterways. So it's going to be a balance between the two, preserving agriculture, but also protecting the environment.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Betsy Happner. Since Joe didn't ask, I will. My son has metastasized colon cancer, so I have a keen personal interest in the medical marijuana issue. I know you started the task force, but what is your timeline for fully implementing the overwhelming intention of the voters?
So a couple things. My task force, which has physicians and has patients on there and license holders and, across the board. So the goal of that program is to tour the entire state, come up with, all right, where are the good, the bad, the ugly of the medical marijuana program, and then come up with a comprehensive plan and submit that to the legislature for them to pass. Most people don't know, I don't actually oversee the medical marijuana department. Medical marijuana is actually overseen by the Department of Health. So we are going to be a thorn in their side every step along the way, because my mother just too, I found out during the recount that she was had cancer and was having to have an emergency surgery and go through chemo and radiation afterwards. So this is personal to me too, to make sure that patients not only have access but affordable access to medical marijuana. So we are going to create this task force to get input and to make sure we get into the department and work as much as we can with the new Surgeon General and the governor to really push through. I think you're going to see a change. When you saw a change in governor, you'll see a change in this program as well.
Hi, Commissioner Albert Fox. Commissioner, your fellow agriculture commissioners from Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Louisiana, all have led trade missions to Cuba, and they all support the removal of the United States embargo of Cuba. Your predecessor's position was pathetic. What is your position?
Cuba is, is a touchy subject here in Florida. As we know that, I'm born and raised in Miami, and so we have to, the agricultural relationship between Cuba is essential. We need to make sure that we are doing everything possible to advance agriculture and to utilize, that they've been suffering. The people of Cuba, the people that are living there are suffering. And we need to create some type of relationship with Cuba for agriculture production and for exports and imports, and to teach Cuba as well new technologies. They are stuck in an age long since past. But we also need to make sure that the people of Cuba are free, and make sure that they are not under a dictatorship and that they have the same rights and freedoms. So I am, very eager to work on the Cuba policy. I'm very eager to have a relationship with Cuba, but I also need to make sure that the people of Cuba that are living there are not being tortured and, have freedoms that we don't see. But again, this is something that we, we need to work on as a state and as a country.
Commissioner John Tetai, I would like to know something about what the state can do to help all of us in this room. That is robocalls.
Yes, and I experience it too. So we do oversee a lot of the do not call list, not so much the robocalling. The robocalling and a lot of that stuff is by the by FCC. But what just happened is that they have now just changed their policy to allow the cell phone companies to start actually creating and regulating that as well. And so we already are being very proactive, talking to the cell phone companies, making sure, and the other things that we did in trying to put through legislation is increase the penalties for selling of the lists, for people that are violating any of the communications that are prohibited. So we are going to be beefing up that component of it, because I have an entire list of phone calls that have been blocked on my phone. It is something not only aggravating, they call in the mornings, they call during dinners. So our consumer services, we created a director, assistant commissioner of consumer affairs to focus on some of these issues and to make sure that we are tackling this, because I know it is a huge problem. Personally feel it, but we're on it. We're working.
That's Agriculture Commissioner Nikki Fried of Florida, and she's answering questions from members of the Tampa Tiger Bay Club. This is a forum that I recorded about a little over a week ago, and we could play more of it later this hour. There's not that much time left, but I do want to take your calls and read some of these emails. You're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. This is Midpoint Monday, and the number to call in is 813-239-9663, and I can put you on the air now if you call in. And the email address is dj@wmnf.org, and you can text in at 813-433-0885. So let me get to some of these comments. Shelby in the Temple Terrace area says, as far as the person who claimed that there are not any local farmers markets in Tampa Bay that sell farmer direct produce, the Temple Terrace Farmers Market is a Saturday morning market that specializes in only having locally produced produce, meats, eggs, and more. Even the crafters are from the local community. It would be great if there are more, but I wanted to give a shout out to them for being an example of doing farmers markets right. So thank you for that information about the Temple Terrace Farmers Market on Saturday mornings. Also, Kevin writes in, capitalism is built on competition. How can Florida medical marijuana patients expect the best products or prices when no real competition exists here in the state? So that's a criticism of the lack of competition in medical marijuana from Kevin. And Chip in Tampa writes sarcastically, grow hemp in Florida? Hemp is a gateway crop. What would be next, marijuana? And then he writes, seriously, though, it's way too rare to hear such rational, thoughtful talk from a Florida politician. Nikki is great, and I would love to have her for our next governor. So that is an email from Chip in Tampa. And this email comes in from Tina, and she says that about Nikki Fried, she sounds like a Republican. All that Israel boosting, their government sucks and has become as genocidal as what the original Exodus folks left in Germany. I want to point out, this is Tina's words. Many, many Israelis are against the Palestinian genocide perpetrated by the Israelis and extremist creeps, just like we oppose the hairball in the Oval Office. And Tina goes on, but you probably get the idea. So thank you for that email from Tina. Simon writes in again and points out that Israel created drip irrigation that Florida uses. So thank you for that second text or email, Simon. If you'd like to comment, give us a call, 813-239-9663. I'll continue reading these texts, and we can go back to the speech if there's time. Art from Largo writes, there's a difference between the state of Florida and the nation state of Israel. For Nikki to say that the state of Israel is essential to the security of our country and to the world indicates her lack of knowledge or her denial of evident truth. Israeli historian Ilan Pape of the University of Exeter in Britain, in his book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, and Israeli professor of international affairs at Oxford, in his book, Israel and Palestine, refute her ridiculous statements. My wife and I voted for her for the last time. Sorry, Simon. That's what Art in Largo writes. So thank you for that. So if you have, I guess we're probably not going to have time to go back and hear any more questions, but so thank you to everyone who did call in, and I'll read one more text from Simon. He gets three today for some reason, but I want to thank everyone who texted and called and who emailed in. And Simon says the listeners are very biased and short-sighted, and he sends a link to an Israeli government website that says the title is Israeli Record at the UN, 117 Co-Sponsors for Agriculture Technology Resolution. So Simon pointing out again, the technology, the agricultural technology that Israel has. Well, thanks to everyone who called, emailed, and texted. And if you'd like to leave your thoughts about this show, you can call me at 813-238-8001, extension 114. I'll play your message next show. If you missed any of the show, you can watch or listen to it on our website. I'm going to put that up this afternoon, the video and audio. That's at wmnf.org/news. You can join the conversation on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank our engineers Alvaro Montealegre and Frank Knox. I'm Sean Canaan. Tomorrow at noon, your hero, Mark Bureau, will host Midpoint Tuesday. Stay tuned right now for great Latino music on Latino 54. And that's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening, and I want to remind you that you can still donate online at wmnf.org if you'd like to support the station and to support Midpoint and the news and public affairs here on 88.5 FM. Thanks for listening to Midpoint.